Good morning. Welcome back. How are you? Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am sorry I have not put out a podcast on the Social Podcast Network. Hope everyone's having a great day. I am Tom. Affected. Man. It's a great day. Actually, it's a great day. It's what time is it? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Just finished a podcast with my friend Tiff. Full Send with TNT. Pretty funny. It's good to chat with my buddy Tiff. Get all the demons out. She is not sober. I mean, she doesn't have a problem, you know. So it's fun to hang out with, like, normal people instead of us special people. And we always have a good time, good chat. I tried to do this podcast the other day, and I just was not feeling it. Some days are like that, you know. I just can't, not that I have to, not that I'm supposed to. I'd like to step up to the mic and have a good chat every day, but one thing about, for me, at least getting sober, is I tend to get in my head. And I don't know, I've just been in my head a lot lately, and my head's telling me, don't podcast, which is crazy, right? But that's always the journey for me. It's always loving something and then not loving it. Good morning, Chris. How are you, Chris Cornell? Little Soundgarden. I do a podcast with my buddy Carlos called In Too Deep, which is a Pearl Jam fan podcast that, you know, me and my buddy are huge fans of the band. And, you know, the last one we did was about, you know, it was, I think, the 29th anniversary of the album 10, 29 or 30. I don't know, however, I think it was 29, but... And 29 years ago, that album came out. And I love Pearl Jam. I love the anniversary of that album coming out. I love this album right here. But all of it reminds me of a time where I was deep into addiction. And my buddy's like, what were you doing? What was your day like the day that album came out, the first day you heard it? And I was like, I don't remember. I know I was probably high or drinking. We're smoking. I was deep in addiction back in those days. I just kind of started my run on speed. And I remember living at my parents' house, staying up all night, tweaking in my room, listening to Soundgarden. And I don't remember the music I was listening to. It was before Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam hadn't come out yet, but I was like into Stone Temple Pilots, and I'd read this article about this guy Chris Cornell, and it was just such a different time back then, you know. It was so hard to, I mean, I'd look back at my stance or my position on it now is it was so hard to get music and band information, you know, compared to what it's like today. But to me, that's what really solidified that relationship with Soundgarden and with Guns N' Roses and with Metallica and all the other bands from back in those days. And then later to be the relationship I would have with Pearl Jam is because it was like being in love with a girl that was hard to get, you know, or a guy or whatever it is that you were loving. But you know, the harder they were to get, the more you loved them. And that would be kind of the beginning of a lot of relationships I would have with alcohol, with marijuana, with speed, and those tended to be the three amigos right there. But, you know, whatever else come bebopping in front of me that I would try. But it was like we would do it. I remember you know, when my drinking started, it would be like we would have to sit on the curb in front of 7-Eleven and see if somebody would buy us some beer. I mean, it took a lot of work. And those moments, we would have a lot of fun, and it would always be about, let's get more beer again and do that again and have that kind of fun. And I didn't like alcohol. I don't know if I even liked pot. I definitely like speed. Speed was the, out of all those three amigos, speed was the one that, in my mind, I got so much stuff done. I wasn't getting anything done, but it seemed, you know, with drinking, you were, you know, you're drunk and you're really, you know, hopefully not drinking and driving. I probably was, but, and with pot, you know, you're just kicking it, being stoned. But with speed, man, it was like, let's clean the garage. Let's paint a bike. Let's play darts for the next 72 hours. I don't, you know, it was just very busy. And, but still, you know, it was a relationship that had begun back then. And, you know, it's funny how music and intertwines with relationships and, you know, things that we do. I remember when I big into, there was a period where I was big into running, and Kings of Leon. I used to always listen to Kings of Leon when I ran. It was like the theme music to a movie, and I was the star, something like that. I don't know. I read a Daily Reflections. I did a podcast the other day, and I was pretty deep into the podcast, and I was like, this podcast sucks, and I just deleted it. It happens like that sometimes, but I was reading the Daily Reflections from, I think it must have been like the 28th. And it was pretty, I love reading Daily Reflections because it seems to hit exactly where I'm at. I'll read this today. The willingness to grow is the essence of a spiritual development. I love that. The willingness to grow is the essence of a spiritual development. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's sober, and they were telling me, they were, you know, explaining to me why they don't like the Big Book. And maybe some years ago, I'd been like, oh yeah, I get it, I understand. But today, if you don't like something, it's just, to me, you just don't want to get sober. That's fine. You know, I used to hear people say, oh, you know, I love the program, but I don't want to do any of the God stuff. I'm like, yeah, I get that. I understand. No, I don't really get it anymore. Then you don't really want to be sober. I've always said that getting sober is so much more than just not drinking, right? There's a lot of gifts that come from not drinking. And they all come really from surrendering, willingness, humility. You know, that is the key. The willingness to grow is the essence of a spiritual development. The willingness, surrendering, giving up, saying, listen, whether I like the Big Book or not, it's part of it. you know, praying. It's the attempt, not the outcome. It's the attempt, the surrender. Fine, I got it. Let me try. I give up. What I'm doing isn't working. Let me try what you're doing. You know, if you have a hang up, and I believe this, and if you don't believe it, it's fine. If you think this is wrong, that's fine. I don't care. I know that through the years I've been doing this program, all in or nothing. I mean, you can hang around the outside, but until you surrender and become willing to try these things, the attempt, and not be so concerned about the outcome, which is, I don't even, you know, I've always said a spiritual relationship, I thought a spiritual buddy was going to pop out of the floor. It didn't happen. What am I getting? It always ends up being about me. What am I getting? Where's the peace I'm finding from this? You know, maybe my journey is, there's parts of my journey that suck. The struggle. You know, questioning what I'm doing. You know, I'd been sober for a while. I'd been free from drinking alcohol. I mentioned, you know, I was still using pills. I was using them, you know, from a back injury. But I was not drinking. And that voice showed up. You deserve it. Look how good you've done. Maybe you should try drinking. And that voice, the only reason it showed up is because all I had done up until this point was not drink. I had done the steps, but I didn't really like the God part. I didn't like the way that the big book was written. It was old, you know. I had all these issues with things, conditions. You know, I'll only be sober as long as I don't have to do this part. And I, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good. But as soon as a problem showed up, like when I moved, and if a problem as small as I don't like the way they collect the money, or I don't like the way they lead the meeting, and then the next thing you know, I'm finding myself making a list of reasons why I shouldn't go to a meeting. Next thing you know, I deserve to try drinking again. It was just that quick. Suffering. You're not living unless you're suffering, Tom. That's what I say to myself. And if suffering means that I have to read and work through a book that I don't particularly like, but has worked for so many people, then I try it. You know, I didn't like my relationship with God. I didn't really care. I don't believe. But what it turned out is that I didn't like my relationship with God because God wasn't fixing and giving me all the things that I had been asking for. God had done nothing for me. At this point, he hadn't fixed anything. Every prayer that I had asked for, usually something that fixed or I wanted, didn't come true. I wasn't praying rightly. I wasn't living rightly. And I've talked about it before, that story of the satanic puppet at the church of the Southern California leader of the satanic church's daughter's wedding. Here at the satanic church, we believe you should do everything that makes you happy. That's how I'd been living my whole life. And if a relationship with God wasn't panning out, he wasn't fixing and giving me the things that I wanted, I didn't really see the need to continue that relationship. The attempt became more important than the outcome. I mean, do you pray? Do you ask for things? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Watch over us tonight as we sleep. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. I'm asking him to watch over us, but don't watch over us and fill our rooms with gold. I think it's like step 11, the relationship with the higher power. That relationship that I have today with the higher power, I ask of nothing. I don't want anything. It's about recognizing that I'm not strong enough, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm not capable, I'm not the most important person. I'm just recognizing that something is bigger than me, and that's it. Don't fix my house. Don't give me money to make my car payment. Don't, you know, bring people into my life or whatever it is I used to ask for back in the day. When I have anxiety, when I'm stressing, when I'm not getting my way, I pray about it and I recognize that I'm not the most important person and I turn it over. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. That simple phrase can cut my shit in half. My anxiety. But people that are like, I'm not going to do this part of it, and I'm not going to do that step. I don't like that step. And I'm not going to do this. They'll never, ever, 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 ever find peace and serenity. I mean, I have glimpses of it, but I still pick and choose, and I still pick and choose the time to do it. And for that, I suffer. But not as bad as I used to. And for not as long as I used to. And it doesn't happen that often, really. I mean, I know. Listen, if I'm having a bad day, something hasn't gone my way. That's it. I can say, listen, man, that didn't go your way. This is why you feel this way. Turn it over, pray about it, and let it go, and let's move on. Or I can carry it around in a bag and drag it around and be miserable from it. Some days I can't shake it. Some days I cannot shake it. And these are those moments, like if I didn't understand really what was going on with me and my journey through sobriety and a relationship with a spiritual being or a higher power, I could find maybe a moment like that to start heading down the path of maybe heading towards a drink. That's what this program for me is about. Creating and shaping a person that doesn't want to turn to alcohol and drugs and whatever the other bad behaviors that I have every time shit isn't going my way. Tools. Tool bag. Toolbox. I mean, I shared about it on a previous podcast. I was going through some depression, and it was toxic, and I didn't feel well, and I didn't feel very spiritually connected, and I felt inconvenienced, and I felt, you know, why me? Why would you these people do this to me? And I was going through all of it, knowing the whole time what was going on. And it wasn't until I decided to say it out loud and turn it over to God that I started to feel a little bit better. And I, you know, it's important. The willingness to grow. Willingness. That's one of those pre-existing condition words, right? Willingness. Give up on what you believe. Open up your mind. Surrender. And learn to grow. The willingness to grow is the essence of all spiritual development. If you stick your foot in the ground and say, nope, that's it, I'm not going any further, you aren't spiritually developing. A line from a song goes, and I look to find a reason to believe. It reminds me that at one time I was not able to find a reason to believe that my life was all right, even though my life had been saved by coming to AA 3 months later, I went out and drank again. Someone told me, you don't have to believe. Aren't you willing to believe that there is a reason for your life, even though you may not know yourself what the reason is, or that you may not sometimes know the right way to behave? When I saw how willing I was to believe there was a reason for my life, then I could start to work on the steps. Now when I begin with I am willing, I am using the key that leads to action, honesty, and openness to a higher power moving through my life. When I saw how willing I was to believe, there was a reason. So, and that's, you know, I get that. You know, at some point, I said, fine. I'll try. But when I started decided I wanted to try, I had to start understanding what I was trying. Was I trying to get things from a relationship with a higher power? You know, I've done that all my life. You know, I build friendships. You know, the guy that I used to buy weed from, might as well try to be his friend, right? The person that I used to try to get speed from, might as well be the guy's friend. What can I get out of this? It's always been that way. So when I decided I was going to try to have a spiritual relationship with a higher power, what was I going to get out of this? What was me? What do I have to gain? It never worked. Some of my best relationships I have with people are people that I expect to get nothing from. Like my friend Tiffany. I want nothing from Tiffany, just a friend. A good laugh. Her and I have a great laugh. My buddy Carlos. All I want from him is just friendship. Laughter. You know, he has a great small business. I mean, there have been a day, maybe I can, you know, he owns a float center. Maybe I can get free floats out of Carlos if we're friends. I don't think like that today. Carlos gave me free floats. I still haven't even used them. It's not what I'm looking for. You know, when I very first got, not when I very first got sober, when I, after I had drank and I asked, I reached out to my buddy Matt. Hey, can you be my sponsor? And he said, call me every day. We'll see how it works out. Looking back at it, I wanted to have him as my sponsor because he was sort of famous. He was well-respected. He owned restaurants. Everybody loved Matt. I'm like, God, if I could have him as my sponsor, I can be his friend, and I will have a relationship that people will recognize. Ego. And due to the fact that I came into that relationship really like that, set me up for a lot of self-analysis. I always said, you know, he said, call me every day and we'll see how it goes. My first thought was, he knows that I have something important to say. He recognizes it. That's how twisted I was. And I remember calling him every day. The first time I called, no answer. He must be busy. The second day I called him, no answer. He must really be busy. The third day I called him, no answer. Well, maybe he died, you know? Because clearly he knows I have something important to say, so in a regular situation he would answer, but something must really be going on. The fourth day I called, no answer. Fuck this guy. I wasn't getting what I want, and that's my immediate reaction, fuck this guy. Fifth day I called. He answered, hey man. Hey. All the anger and annoying feelings that I was having because of this guy not answering, went, you know, they were all justified at the time. As soon as he answered, I shoved him away. Hey man, what's going on? Not much. Thanks for calling. Call me tomorrow. Click. This isn't what I was expecting. But it would expose all this weird shit that I was going through. I didn't want a sponsor. I wanted to be friends with Matt Haley. But he would make me work for that friendship. He would make me work so that he felt like he was working on somebody that was willing. And I wasn't at the time. I was not willing. But he had this great way of just kind of putting it out there and then letting me kind of waddle through it. It's like standing in like a huge puddle of mud, you know, 100 yards wide. And him standing on one side and me standing on the other. And him yelling, come on over. Come over here. You want what I have? Come on over here. And I was like, I do. Took the first step in the mud. And it would be years of just walking across that mud to get to him. I could see him. I could see his life. I could see his behavior. I could see what he was doing. I knew it. I wanted to be part of that. But I had to cross a lot of mud to get to it. Deep. You know, I'd be getting closer, and then I'd take a step, and a shoe would get stuck in the mud. I'd have to go back and get the shoe. I remember 2 years into it, taking pills. I finally said, listen, I've been taking pain pills because I've been prescribed to them. And he goes, listen, man, you're going to have to change your sobriety date or you're never going to be sober. That was like early in the mud. Both shoes had fell off. I had to go way back. I had to go 2 years back. But that wasn't because I wanted sobriety. That's because Matt suggested it. I was in the care of a higher power. It just happened to be Matt. You know, I wanted to behave and act and look good to Matt. And that would later start becoming, you know, when they talk about, you know, pick anything as a higher power. Doorknob. That right there shows it's not the thing that you're picking. It's that you're picking. It's not the outcome. It's that you're making an attempt. I didn't choose the doorknob. I chose Matt. And I would dial that phone every day for 7 years. And the barometer of what I was going through that 7 years would change big extremes. You know, I remember I would call. I didn't want to talk to him. So I would call early because I know he slept in. I'd call early. Because I called, hey, call me every day. Fine, I'll call you early because I know you're not going to be up and you're not going to answer. Like, I'm punishing him. What the fuck is that about? You'll see, Matt, take this. And I would recognize, what's that about, man? And I would think about it and, you know, I wasn't getting what I wanted from our friendship or, you know, sometimes I would call and he wouldn't answer. It's so funny. My wife and I have been watching The Office. And Steve Carell, Michael Scott, is so uncomfortable, right? And it just reminds me of a little bit that uncomfortability in him reminds me of how I was. You know, so to avoid the fact of him not answering and dealing with that, I would call so early in the morning that would be the reason he didn't answer. He didn't answer because I called at 6 in the morning. You know, not because he was too busy to answer my phone call. He was sleeping. And that would then, you know, over time, that would expose that kind of behavior. It wasn't about what he was doing and why he wasn't answering and why, what was going on with him. It was more about the attempt. Call me every day and we'll see how it goes. He didn't say, I'll call me every day and I'll answer and, you know, we'll have long conversations. That's not what he said. Call me every day and we'll see how it goes. And I would call every day and he didn't always answer. So I started shaping it to look like I knew the answer. And the reason he didn't call is because he was sleeping. Really funny. Sickness. I don't know. How's everybody doing? Is everyone hanging in there? Staying sober? Does this ring a bell with anybody? You know? I mean, sobriety, right? You just don't drink and it's all good. I didn't sign up for this stuff. Just thinking stuff, feelings. Have you had somebody in your life that really exposes some of our shortcomings without telling us what our shortcomings are? Have you had somebody in your life that gives you just enough rope to kind of lead yourself? Without having to explain everything? No. Are you willing? You know, I told this lady yesterday, if you don't want to, if you're going to stop and say you don't want to be part of the big book because you don't like the way it's written, you don't want to be sober. Is that too harsh? Or is that reality? Can you pick and choose what you want to do in a program and still find the serenity and peace that you're looking for? Are you looking for serenity and peace? Do you even know what you want? Do you even know what you're doing? You know? The willingness, the surrender. I give up to what I think is right, and I'm going to go ahead and choose and do what you say is probably right. Doing things for the attempt and not the outcome. Is that what you do? You know? The God thing is such a tough subject for a lot of people in this program. And I think it's because God has let them down, at least the version of that they had created. I know he had let me down for so long. Santa was more important than God. Because Santa at least delivered once a year. God didn't give me nothing. Anything. I didn't understand the relationship with God and church and meetings. You know, it's a time to stop whatever it is we choose to be doing and take an hour to do what we need to be doing, whether it's getting a meeting or being there for the next person, the inconvenience of it. And, you know, there's just a lot of great lessons in sobriety. It's a tough gig. I hope everyone's doing well. Thank you for being patient. I don't know how this is going to sound, but it is what it is, and it's all I have to offer today. Stay sober. If you're struggling with anything, reach out, touch base. You know, and if you're struggling with a higher power or you're struggling with the big book, just find some willingness. Put the shit that we think is an issue aside for a while and just go with it. You know? It's about the attempt, not the outcome.